call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law of 1975, Chapter 231 have been satisfied in that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. If you would all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Cool.
Here.
Flores.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Megan.
Here.
Boyle.
Here. Conspicuous by his absence this evening is our manager. He has a family emergency that he needs to attend to today, so he will not be in attendance. First up, we have the minutes of the regular meeting of February 15th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on these? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The executive session minutes of February 15th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we have no correspondence this evening. So at this point, I will open up the audience portion of the meeting for petitions, remarks, statements, and testimony from guests that's not otherwise on our agenda. Mr. Del Elba.
Bob Del Elba, 86 West Stewart Street. And two questions. One, I was wondering how many bids came in for the forensic audit.
As of now, there have been none, but the closing date is March 8th that they're due.
Okay. One of the folks advised me that they did submit one. So I don't know how updated is. You get this every day, Scott, or what?
Christine, do you know that?
I can't comment. Rich isn't here. If you have one, I'm not aware of it.
He gets them first, okay. And they go this way?
He gets them, yes.
Yeah. So
okay.
Perhaps there is one in his office that we're not aware of.
Yeah, there should be one. We were advised at least one came in. And the posting of the minutes for tonight on the website, is that normally who does that? We normally go on to find out what's coming up at the meeting. There wasn't any postings.
They haven't been posted yet. From the last meeting?
No. For the tonight's meeting.
The agenda.
Who does that normally?
I do. That was sent to our website person, and he confirmed it was up there.
We couldn't find it. That's all right.
Really? All right. Okay. I'll take a look at that.
May I ask who does your website?
It's,
Is it an organization?
City Connection?
City Connection.
Yeah, third party.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Good evening. Anyone else? Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next up we have ordinances. Ordinance 1, 2011, an ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limit and establish a cap bank.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Sturgeon, would you like to say anything on this before we go? Any discussion on this?
I'll answer any questions if you have any regarding what it is.
Can you explain to everybody here exactly what it is?
Sure.
Okay.
Currently, there's two different caps that every budget has. There is a levy cap, which is on your revenue, and appropriation cap, which is what this ordinance is about. Completely independent of each other. This ordinance will allow us, it doesn't allow us to spend more money, it doesn't allow us to raise more revenue. What it allows us is, if we budgeted less than what we were maximum allowed to budget as far as expenditures, to keep that balance that we haven't used as a reserve for the next few years. This way, if something unforeseen comes in next year, and we need to, let's say snow comes in next year, even harder than this year, and we need to spend more money on snow, we can budget more for the snow without asking state permission to allow us to budget above the cap that they set for us by the amount you're going to vote today. That doesn't mean the taxes are going to go up, because in 2012, if we need to use this money, we might have different types of revenue coming in that will help us pay for this. But in order to be able to even put it in the budget to be expended, you have to have that ability. You have to have that bank. So if you I know in 2009 and 2010, you didn't vote for the bank. And actually, every year you don't vote for the bank, you hurt yourself. Because if you look on the state website, last year we were allowed to budget expenses up to $3.5 million. We only budgeted $3.2 million. So we lost $300,000. Now, when this year they applied the 2% increase that they authorized, they only applying it to what you actually had in the budget, which is you had 3.2, they're giving you 2% on the top of it, and you can go up to, you know, 3.27, okay? You can no longer go back to 3.5. You lost that ability to raise extra $300,000 in expenses. So you now have to do with a smaller amount for your budget. It has nothing to do with readiness, has nothing to do with taxes, just with appropriation size. So if you both know every year, you every year cutting the tree that you're sitting on, and your budget will have to get artificially smaller and smaller and smaller. And when you have salary expenses going up, pension expenses going up, all those things going up, and you decreasing and decreasing your ability to budget, you're going to have an issue, you know, several years down the road. And it's the issue that is very hard to resolve. That requires a different type of referendum, a lot of expenses, and I can tell you that from experience I've conducted that type of referendum, it's very expensive. So this is just my plea to you to actually adopt that ordinance.
So where does the money come from if you need to spend the extra money?
That's totally separate issue. Let's say right now you have $3.2 million in the budget and the expenditures. You have to look at your miscellaneous revenue, you have to look at your taxes, you have to look at all types of revenues to come up with it, right? If you have $3.3 million to spend, you still have to look at all your revenues. That doesn't mean it's automatically $45,000 in taxes. You might have more surplus. You might have interest income because the economy, you know, came back. You might have all slew of different types of revenue that will pay for this money. You might never need to use this money. It just gives you an ability, if you need to, if some unforeseen circumstances comes in, to budget more than what they're going to set next year as the limit for you.
It's the good insurance policy.
I have a question.
Yeah. Mr. Torres.
Natasha, so just so it's clear, this doesn't mean automatically our taxes are going to increase at all. It has nothing to do with 3.5 increase. Some people might want to read into this. It's just a safety measure that we have that's available to us that it's probably a good idea to take.
Correct.
So that's my opinion. So, thanks.
Any other questions? Mr. Boyle?
Yeah, I've never supported this since I've been on council because it does increase spending. I really didn't understand the explanation. If it's not anything to do with revenue, it's not anything to do with taxes, where does this money come from? So you're not quite sure how this is going to be materialized. It allows to exceed the budget. 3.5% of the previous year. So what we're saying, if I got out of that, is the state looks at it as a $3.2 million budget. If we didn't have this in here, we only got enough aid for the $3.2 million. Is that kind of what you said?
No. It doesn't allow you to exceed the budget. Your budget is what you set as a budget. What the state says is the inflation is 2%. So we will allow you to increase your expenditures by 2% without asking anybody's permission. However, if you would like to go above the inflation, then you have to pass that ordinance to go that 1.5% more. The 2% they give you automatic. That 1.5%, that's what you're going to ask them to give you permission to bank. You're not going to use it because you're below the cap in 2011 budget. But it gives you the ability to bank it. And as I said earlier, it doesn't mean that you're going to spend the money. What it is your insurance policy in case next year you have an expense that is outpaced your inflation. Pick any, as I said, snow, pick electricity, you know, your new DPW garage. Maybe you're going to have, you know, major usage of gas, much more than inflation rate. Maybe gasoline went up right now and it's going to climb and climb above the $20 mark and you need more money. This is your insurance policy that you can adequately budget so your DPW trucks will be on the road versus in a garage because you can't afford gasoline.
So if you did use the 1.5% increase in the budget, when does that get paid back?
You're not using it in the budget. It's just, it's a bank. It's the bank that gives you ability to budget it if you ever need it in future budgets. It's not going to happen in 2011 because your budget is down, you don't need it. in 2012, when you build your budget, you're going to look at all your expenses and you're going to say, I need F for this, you know, Y for this. You put it all together, and then you look at what your maximum allowable per state and see if that number matches. If you exceed by $15,000, that's when you can go and say, aha, I have 45 in the bank, then I can use 15 versus I have to cut 15.
Is the bank a fictitious bank? Is it?
Yes. It's not a bank with 45,000 sitting. It's just on the paper. They're keeping a track of how much you have in the bank.
So you can, this will allow you to spend $45,000 more than what you proposed somewhere. It's not in the budget, right?
No.
Right.
There'll be no future budget. So next year.
Proposed, it will allow you to propose to spend 45 more.
Right.
Once you propose it, that's irrelevant what you have in the bank. You only spend what you propose. But when you're putting the budget together, it will allow you to propose the budget $45,000 more.
Well, say for example, though, a town that did do this, say last year.
My other town does it every year.
How did that work, though, with the mandatory 2% cap? How were they then able to use 3.5%?
Right. Nope. So I said there's two caps. There's levy cap and appropriation cap.
Okay. All right. Yeah, gotcha.
The appropriation cap.
Okay. And it's just a fictitious kind of like
right.
number that they're keeping track of.
Yeah.
Right.
And every year when they get you a statement, they show you the banks. They show you the bank. Let's say for 2011, there's going to be 2009 and 2010 banks because after 2 years, the bank expires. If you didn't use it, you lost.
Oh, okay. Every 2 years, then it starts over.
Every 2 years, the bank expires.
Oh, okay.
So what's available now is 9 and 10. You know, in 11, you'll have 10 and 11. In 12, you'll, sorry. You'll have
right.
10 and 11. The 9 will expire.
Gotcha.
So it just drops off, and they allow you to carry 2 years of unused appropriation.
Right. And you might not ever even need it.
You might never even need
right.
it.
So in case gasoline goes up 2%, say,
correct.
Which is a very real, you know, possibility, and salaries, pensions and all would have to go up, rate of inflation, rather, go up 2%. So, of course, we would have to maybe increase that. We're talking 4%. It's a safety of, you know, just insurance for the future.
Exactly.
It's a good idea.
So
it is safety for the future.
It won't expire until the end of 2012, and most of your union contracts, I think, have 4% salary increases. In order to give 4% in salary increases, you have to next year cut somewhere else if you want to stay within the 2%. You have to cut out the expenses because your overall net will have to stay at 2%.
So, by saying that with salary increases, that makes it sound like we're going to need it next year.
Well, I mean, you had 4% this year and you didn't need it, and you had 4% the year before and you didn't need it. That doesn't mean you're going to need it.
Right.
It's just if you don't vote for it, I can't tell you that next year you're not going to have a problem.
So just giving potential examples.
How much caps are we this year?
I think you're under close to 60,000 or 70,000. It's on page 3 on your...
So if we went to 3.5%, then our real numbers then would be, based on this year's numbers, 100,000. If we're 60,000 under this year and we're asking for another 45 for next year, that would... That's a $100,000 swing right there.
Well, you're not asking for 45 for next
we're
year.
Asking
you're
asking for permission to
banking it.
We're
right.
banking it so that if we need it, it's there. So that
right.
would be a $100,000
correct.
Swing.
Okay, any other discussion?
Questions?
There will be a public hearing on this since it's an ordinance the next time around.
Okay.
And if you want to talk after the meeting, of course, that will be fine. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Slava?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
No.
Higgins?
No.
Get
back.
I know. I'm not there yet. An ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank.
Publication date, right?
No.
No motion to approve now. That was the
I'll
introduction.
I'll make a motion.
Sorry?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? And that roll call.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
No.
Higgins?
No.
Valentine?
Yes.
Public hearing ordinance 1-2011 will be April 5th, 2011. An advertisement of a public hearing will be carried out on March 10th, 2011.
Need a motion for that publication?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that?
This is just to publish it.
Yes. And a roll call on that, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Suarez?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
Missão?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes.
That brings us to Resolution 57, 2011, which will be to introduce our municipal budget.
Make a motion to introduce the budget.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? And what we'll do after this is we'll schedule some budget workshops. This document can be changed in between now and, or the budget can be changed in between now and the final adoption. The only thing is that the timeline set by the state of New Jersey means we have to have every change into the manager by March 22nd, noon time.
So that would mean council would need to approve the changes at the next meeting in order to give it to the manager.
There's not two meetings then, is there?
There's only one more meeting.
The changes can be given to them by March 22nd.
I know, but just because I want to change doesn't mean the rest of council would want to change.
Well, you know, whatever our last meeting is for the budget workshops and we decide this is the document that we're going to put forth, that will be it.
Scott?
Sir?
The manager's weekly report, he's got the budget timeline, 2011, March 1st, budget introduction was tonight. Council budget discussion, which is next week, or next meeting, the 15th. Public hearing on the budget, April 5th. Where does it say that's March 22nd?
I spoke with Rich earlier today, and that's what he gave me.
So April 5 still?
April 5 is the...
hearing?
The public hearing and the final adoption. But the changes that we make, whatever they may be, have to be into them by the 22nd so that he can have them down to the state, and the state does whatever they're going to do with it so we can approve it on the 5th.
And then it still can be amended on April 5th, according to this note here.
Sure.
It could be, except for three cases. There is three cases where amendments will require advertisement, and if you choose to amend on April 5th and it complies with those three cases, which is the appropriation goes from line from zero to whatever it is, if you never had a line and you're increasing your taxes going up more than 5%, if you're changing any line more than 10%, then you would require public advertisement and public hearing on that amendment only. And then you wouldn't be able, you can still conduct public hearing on April 5th, but you cannot conduct the adoption of the budget until you conduct another public hearing on the amendment. And then at the time of the public hearing on the amendment, you can adopt the final budget. And Rich picked that date is because with your schedule. So if you choose to have another amendment on April 5th, all would it require is for you to have a special meeting for the budget adoption, because the state schedule for this year says that the budget must be adopted no later than April 22nd. So if that's the case, we need to, not that we're required to comply with the date, there is, you know, state is not mandating it, but it's just strongly suggested, because when we fill out the new best practices questionnaire, one of the questions is, was your budget adopted on time? It's a yes or no. Yes gives you the state aid, no decreases your chances of getting state aid. I'd really like to answer yes. So
sure.
You can answer the question.
Absolutely.
You know, adopt the budget by April 22nd.
Well, after you introduce the budget, are you allowed to, I know you always go through cost savings, could you increase a line item?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and it depends on how much you increase. You either need another public hearing or you don't.
Okay. No, I mean even between now and the public hearing.
Yes.
Okay.
It can't be increased after it's been approved.
Once the budget is adopted, you can
adopt it. Right, once it's adopted.
Right.
But after the introduction, you still have that capability.
Yes.
So we need to schedule workshops.
Yeah,
during this conversation right now.
Right.
We could do that, or after the resolution is approved, we could discuss it, so either way.
Well, whatever housekeeping items works.
Okay, do we have any other discussion on this resolution? Hearing none, a roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, now I guess schedule some workshops.
Yeah.
I would personally prefer evenings. I think that would work best for myself. Shaking your head no, Mr. Higgins?
Well, depends what evening.
Yeah, what day?
Well, I mean, I'm available just about any evening as long as it isn't planning board or something of that nature.
Well, we couldn't do it that same.
Sorry? Do we feel the need to bring department heads into any of our workshops? Well, let's see, most line items are flat as far as departmental budgets goes with, let's see, you have an increase?
I do.
And who else does? Remember? I think there's one or two others that have smaller.
Planning board operating, so planning board operating expense, the clerk, and the fire and safety code enforcer, streets and roads operating, and the shade tree commission operating.
Should bring them in?
Bring the ones that are related.
Bring them all in.
Any question?
I mean, it's not, some of them aren't much of an increase, so it's up to.
It is in this day and age, any increase is an increase.
And hopefully they could all be scheduled maybe in the same evening, that would be best, because I'm sure some of these are not going to be big, long presentations.
I don't think you want to have them all in one evening, that could get a little lengthy. We don't want to have our people here until, you know, midnight, I don't want to be here until midnight. But, you know, I think we would need two or three budget workshops at minimum. Mr. Higgins, you disagree?
I think we can get it all done in one night.
You think so?
Me too.
Well, how about if we schedule three of them, and then we can cancel if we don't need them? And that way we have them advertised, so we don't need to go much beyond that. That works.
Then if I only bring the department heads in with an increase?
Sure. That's my understanding.
Can we also have the tax assessor here, too? Someone from that department? I just want to see what he has to say in terms of the property taxes and any, you know, assessments he might be planning or, you know. Maybe it's not necessary, I don't know.
Do you want to do that, or you just want to send him a note asking him those questions?
I could do that. I mean, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just one or two questions that you have, maybe it's better that you just email them to him or call him or something like that.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So are these three workshops going to be during the week or on a weekend?
It could be at any of them.
Weekdays work for me.
What is that?
So weekdays work for me the best.
And my schedule's flexible, so I can.
I can't do Monday or Wednesday. I could do Thursday, Tuesday evening, or Friday evening.
That works for me.
Okay.
I can do either one of those.
Next Tuesday, next Thursday, next Friday?
I can do next Thursday.
Sorry.
I can't be there next Tuesday.
I can't do that.
Okay.
Let's just, maybe can we go into the following week then, or no?
Yeah, we can go into.
All right, so why don't we do the Thursday, Friday, and maybe the following.
You might not even need the following week. I don't think you will.
Well,
I think you probably could have done it on one night, too, so.
Yeah, the safety net will have everything advertised, so.
So you're saying tentatively next Wednesday, Thursday, possibly the following?
No, Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday?
Next week?
Yes.
Okay.
So what's that night? The 10th and 11th.
March.
Okay.
March.
3:10 and 11.
And the second one is March 11th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when's the third one?
There's.
Do the 14th also? That would be. 15th? Can't do. And then that takes us to the 16th, which would be a Wednesday.
I can't do Wednesday.
So the 17th?
St. Patrick's Day. No
yeah.
way.
Why? It could be a fun one.
Where's your dedication? Come on.
Yeah.
Which puts us to the 18th.
I would schedule it for the 12th, which is Saturday. I don't think we're going to need it.
Okay with everybody else?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to need it either, so that's a good idea.
Okay.
Again, I won't be here. My mother's having surgery next week, so I'm really limited in my time. But you can do it the 12th. I just might not be here. That's fine.
Okay,
that'll be a night. That'll be
a morning.
Well, it's a Saturday.
Well, I have Saturday work days, too. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, I'm 6 days on, 2 days off, so I don't get weekends like everybody
because
else.
Because that night I won't be here.
12th would be a night or morning?
4 o'clock is about the earliest that I could get to do it. We could schedule them schedule that one for 4 p.m. if everybody wants.
What were the times on the Thursday and Friday? What time did we say? Did we say?
We didn't say. Do you want to do 7?
6 to 8? No.
That's an after 6 for me.
7. I could do 7.
7 to 9?
7 is okay?
7.
Okay.
7 to 9.
7 to 9.
Yeah, that's good.
For the 10th and the 11th.
I'd like to have an end time.
Okay, 9?
You got it.
Sure.
You
said 7 to 9.
Yeah.
Is that okay, everybody?
And for the 12th, you want to do 4 p.m., 4 to 6?
Doesn't matter.
That's fine.
Now that's April 12th?
Yeah.
For March 12th.
March.
For March 12th?
Mm-hmm.
March 12th. 10th, 11th, 12th.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next week.
Okay, everybody's comfortable with that? I'm sorry?
No, so the 8th is Tuesday.
I'll double check on my calendar. Yeah, Christine has her calendar right there. Okay. You beat me to it. Okay, so we're set up for that. They will be advertised. The public, of course, will be invited to the workshops. We will try and make it as open a process as possible and let the audience ask any questions that they may have at that point. That brings us up to reports.
Any motion to receive and file?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the reports?
The manager's not here, so.
Okay. We have the motion and the second?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
As a fire department.
And rescue squad.
Okay. No committee reports, that takes us to the recreation
there is
committee.
A committee report, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I didn't submit anything in writing.
Okay.
No.
Mr. Higgins, what do you have for us in the committee report?
Well, listen, we met with the audit committee, met with the concerned citizens to go over the email that I put in everybody's box that, you know, when I spoke to the manager, he said that he met with Mr. Neff, and Mr. Neff made the comment that the state would not approve more than $100,000 for your.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have gotten a copy of that
yep.
email. we met to discuss that with the Concerned Citizens Group. There was really no big outcry. There were some questions that were asked, though, like, how do we determine $100,000? Because I asked the manager this myself. We never took a vote on how much we were going to expend. The ordinance actually says it's a one-time expenditure.
When we were down speaking with Mr. Neff, I remember the conversation, and he asked what we had budgeted for it for last year. And we said we had $100,000 in the budget for it. So that was, I think, what he used as his number.
But did he ask at all as to what some of the proposals came in at?
I believe he did.
See, here's what, I'm in a quandary, and maybe somebody can help me out here. There is a legal and binding referendum that was passed, contrary to what other people want to say or what interpretation. We have an ordinance on the books now that has to deal with that. How are we going to fund it for $100,000 if it comes in at $125,000?
As explained to me, or as Mr. Neff suggested, is that we would start at the last year, or the first year of the audit that is according to the referendum and go forward. And when we got to $100,000, that was it. If we wanted to go with it further, we would need to expend that money in the following year's budget.
But, see, that would be a violation of our ordinance. See, there's contradictory statements, and there's contradictory information. Our ordinance says it's a one-time expenditure.
Right.
So if we spend $100,000, that's a one-time expenditure. So I don't know how we can go on to the following year and pay for future years. And that was a question that concerned citizens had. Now, if it comes out to be if they can do the 5 years for $100,000, that's not a problem.
Right.
The problem comes in, though, is that there is a legal binding referendum that said 5 years.
So how do we fix that?
Didn't you also say, though, like, make sure you're only soliciting the bids? They make sure when you're soliciting the bids that they know that not to exceed 100,000. So you'd only, you know, to complete the work.
Yes.
You're right, but that information came after the bids were already advertised.
That, I guess,
well, then I guess you
the,
might have to go out for more bids. See what the bids come in at.
We do have to wait to see what the bids come in at.
Yeah.
Because if they come in under, it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah, if it comes in under, you know, we're no sense in going through a bunch of what-if scenarios that may never happen.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I know he's here. He's not here. So you can write that down. I said I understand that one time. Here's the situation, though.
She's writing it down, too.
If we get the bids in, or the proposals, because there's a difference between proposals and bids. If we get all those proposals in, and they're not not $100,000 or less, somebody explain to me what happens then.
I would think that all the proposals would go down to Mr. Neff, and we'd say to him, what do you want us to do?
But then he comes back and says, the state's not approved, because he's already put it in writing.
Right.
That he is not going to, the state is not going to approve more than $100,000 expenditure for a five-year audit. Then what happens?
Then we'll either expend up to $100,000 doing what can be done in the forensic audit, or the courts will have to take it up, I would imagine.
And here's my quandary. That delays, and not only will it delay, it will cost us legal fees.
It could.
If it goes to court, it will. I don't think our attorney's going to do it for free.
Any ordinance that's disputed.
Well, if Mr. Neff decides to kick the money for it.
Well, he's not going to. He's already put it in writing that the state is not going to approve more than $100,000. And he also put it in to make sure when you send your proposals out, that's with the proposals, that it's not that's going to cost $100,000. But it was already advertised.
Maybe it wasn't proposed correctly enough or persuasively enough, let's put it, to Mr. Neff. Maybe it's possible he says no now, and then maybe there's even a higher authority than a Mr. Neff from the state that would say, okay, we will approve this one time for this borough, 125,000, or whatever, you know, say whatever number it is over. We don't know, though.
Would be Governor Christie.
Well, maybe that could happen. But maybe we don't know. So,
and even that's a little iffy, because I don't know where where the two powers separate there. Last time we had two bids, as I understand it, two proposals that came in under 100,000.
There were three.
There were three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't think that, you know, that's going to be an issue. And I don't know that we should borrow trouble and go through all the what-ifs. You know, let's cross the bridge when we come to it.
Prior proper planning prevents some kind of poor performance.
Say that three times fast, okay.
I'm just saying. And I would like an attorney's opinion in writing whether or not he believes that that is a binding referendum.
To the attorney or?
The attorney. Listen, somebody's got to make the decision.
That Mr. Cushing said that it would need to go to a superior court. Didn't he say that?
He did say that, yeah.
Why would it have to go to a superior court?
Because they've already reviewed it and they gave us their findings.
And what was their finding?
Their findings was it could go either way.
They could make arguments either way.
They could get off the pot and make a decision, right?
Remember they sent.
That's passing the buck.
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say it's he can make it an argument either way,
right,
to defend
that's
or
right. Right.
Whatever.
Let me say this. When we voted as a council, or when they presented that as a question to go on the ballot, I don't know about anybody else who was sitting here on this council at the time, but the way I interpreted what was being said was that was a binding referendum because there is an ordinance that is associated with it. Now, when the garbage went on, there was no ordinance because the attorney said that would bind us for 3 years because of the ordinance. Now, We have an ordinance associated with this right here. It is 12-2010. Now, if it would have been a binding referendum if we had an ordinance for the garbage, I fail to see why it's not a binding referendum with an ordinance attached to it for the audit.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I think that it is binding, in my opinion, too, but that's just an opinion.
Yeah. So. Apparently, the legal minds think that there are contradictory statutes on the state.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off, Scott, but that's a whole other bale of hay.
But that it's an interpretation. As you said, I interpret it to mean somebody else may interpret it differently, and that's why we have a court system that is bogged down like it is, because there
are... Are you telling me that the attorney can't make a decision based on the fact that we have an ordinance?
The attorney cannot make a decision if there's not case law that states one way or the other. You know, that's the court's job, not the attorney's job.
Well, we'll find out when he has to go to court and explain it then.
Okay. Any other committee reports?
I just have a brief subcommittee report.
Okay.
I just want to let everyone in the public know that, you know, the surveys are up. I don't know if anybody saw them downstairs. But now there's also the citizen involvement sheets, so people can sign up attached
right
to them. So, and it's also posted on the website.
That's Are we ready to assign council people to these committees?
Not yet. No, we need to get some feedback from the citizens.
All right. Scott, I know library is not a committee, but I just got one thing that came out of the library meeting that I attended last night. The Historical Society is looking for a meeting place on Friday nights, and it's between 18 and 22 people. So I don't know if we could we offer a building here, a room here, because they don't have one at the library, since there's no library being open on Friday nights.
Not a problem. It's going to meet there, right?
Yeah.
Well, I meant for space.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I don't see any reason why not.
All right. I don't know if they asked or not. I mean, that's what I had understood last night, so I just want to reach out to them to not forget about the Borough Hall.
Jeremiah still?
Okay. Yeah.
I can get out and be on the calendar.
No, I understand that. All right. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can hold Jeremiah.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, that takes us to old business, the Recreation Commission draft ordinance.
Well, that wasn't, this is old business. There's a couple things that I have.
Okay.
I just wanted some clarification on the first page, 355.2, for the appointment of members. The last sentence there, provided by law for the appointment of Mr. Lumley to the Board of Recreation Commissioners in the manner provided by the law for the appointment of borough officers.
Hmm.
Borough officers.
This is what we had previously, correct?
Not really sure.
Okay. Because if I remember that outside of the underlines and things of that nature, this was a verbatim of what we had in our previous ordinance.
Well... That's not necessary. The changes that you're saying, what's in the boxes there were changes?
I think Rich put
changes in. Or suggested changes, right. If it's a comment.
That is the correct language in our ordinance as it stands in the book, which isn't current, right?
That's correct.
So it does have that last sentence, does have that same verbiage for 3-55.2. What's the question on that, David?
Officers. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Okay, well, we'll have the clerk make a note of that and see if we can get that answered.
Okay, thanks. On page 2. Paragraph B. I think you could take "and" out after "mayor." Vacancies occurring in the membership of the board shall be filled by the mayor with the advice and consent of council.
Which one? D?
No.
B.
B. A period after mayor, is that what you said?
Yeah, "and."
Oh, okay.
So it says the mayor.
Oh, okay, I got you.
355.8, which is page 3. Powers and duties of the director, paragraph B. I don't see how the recreation director can have two bosses. Be responsible to the borough manager for development and adherence to the annual and capital budget. Personnel policies and financial and purchasing policies. Director shall consult with the manager in connection with all significant annual and capital budget, personnel policies, and all financial and purchasing policy issues. That's the purpose of the recognition. Who works for that?
Yeah, but they still have to be able to follow our purchasing manual and things like that, and I think that's all that that's doing, is another double check to ensure that.
I got that. So what happens if, what happens then if the recreation director doesn't do that? Who does he answer to? Does he answer to the borough manager, or does he answer to the rec commission, who he's hired by? Or she?
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah. We'll have to have that clarified.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's see here. Paragraph H on the last page. Attend all meetings of recreation commissioners and respond to and consider advice from the recreation commissioners. I don't think, I think that advice should be replaced with direction. And take out consider, respond to the direction from the recreation commissioners. That's all.
Okay.
For me.
I have something on that.
Sure.
I did extensive research in terms of the bylaws. I was trying to, you know, locate different municipalities, especially in New Jersey, that have bylaws. There's not a lot that publish bylaws, but bylaws, just so we know, like in a commission form or a board, they're just like a constitution, if you would, or a charter. It's something that they go by that's, you know, they can change, and everybody kind of does. And it's just kind of a set of rules that they go by. But in doing that, you know, of course, I had the opportunity also to do research on what towns did have commissions and what ordinances are worded, how they're worded, and what they did. Now, I did extensive research, and I have probably about 20 different towns' worth of material. Now, it's quite extensive. I don't know if maybe you want to look at some of these now. You know, maybe, Scott, you could suggest, you know, how we could handle this. But I think that there's a lot of things that would be probably a good idea to consider, if, especially since we're going to try to do something where we're changing something that we had before. I think it's kind of a good idea to look at just what the other towns are doing now. And I know it's a little bit time-consuming, but it's something I think it's really necessary for because we are going to be changing the ordinance if we're going to do this.
Do you have those electronically or just on paper?
I just have them on paper right now, so you're going to have to, I could possibly make copies, but it's a lot of paper. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for, electronically.
I mean, I could pass these around. I mean, we could send them, pick up a plan or whatever. I mean, somehow.
Scan them in?
Well, I can scan them.
Christine was saying that we could scan them in here tomorrow and email them out to everybody, and that way they could see them.
I have a question on that.
Yeah.
Councilman, of all the information you have, are all those municipalities a recreation commission-based programs?
Yeah.
They're all commissions, not committees?
I eliminated the committees, you know, any committee, you know, types. However, I mean, a lot of towns, I do want to point out, too, that even though they have a commission form, or some even call it a board, it's basically the same thing, they also have an advisory committee of, based on citizens, you know, which is separate and, you know,
well,
they would advise them, too, so I think that that's good.
Like, does each one of those towns have a pool?
No, but there's a few that do, quite a few.
I would keep the ones that have a pool and then
well,
have a
I don't
commission.
Think it's always just a, as a general criteria because you're looking at specific language, so I think it's more important to actually, you know, consider because, like, for
I'm
example,
not going to go through all those documents. I mean,
well, it's worthwhile because, for example, in your particular comment that you had, which is something that's kind of a good idea, I mean, how many meetings, you know, you had asked that in this, you know, draft. Now, a lot of these, of course, right in the ordinance say how many meetings. You know, I mean, it's just a good idea to look at some. Maybe we could, you know, briefly take a look now. I mean, I can pass these around and just take a look. And I won't do the bylaws because they're a little separate and they really range. But the ordinance is, I just picked a few here. You could just take a brief look and maybe, you know, go from there and see what you want to do. But I think that it's worth considering. They have some other, you know, it depends. Some teams, not only do they have a, I mean, some teams, some towns, rather, municipalities have, say, a swimming pool, but they also have only, you know, that's maybe say that's all they have, or they have a lake facility. So that one maybe is not even a good one to consider because there's no, like, baseball, softball, lacrosse, hockey, or things that we have maybe. You know, so each one is different. I mean, that's the thing. You can't just generalize these out.
But the documents you have there are written bylaws from those municipalities.
I have bylaws and I have ordinances. I think the ordinances are more important to look at than the bylaws. However, I think that we can, as I said before in the last meeting, the bylaws are good, just even a small set of bylaws, of rules that they have to start with. Some of these are small, the bylaws. Some of them, just to give you an example, okay, here's the Youth Commission Constitution and Bylaws. This thing is, I don't know how many pages, it's huge, okay? But, you know, for our purposes, just to start, you know, somebody off or start a commission off, it's good to maybe just give them something as a template to go by. And then after that, they can change whatever bylaws they want, you know, as long as they conform to the ordinance. And so that's the ordinance for us, our purposes, is much more important, obviously, so it's that.
Do each one of these say which towns they come from?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you let the clerk, after the meeting, have all of the ordinances that you have?
And I just don't want to burden the clerk with a lot of stuff, but I'll do
well,
it if that's whatever he wants to do.
Someone else.
Yeah, no, all right. That's fine.
It'll get scanned in and emailed to all of us, and then the bylaws we can deal with, I guess, after we have an ordinance together. And do that with
Rich.
The commissioner,
if I could, one more. The comment there about, you know, how many times a month they're supposed to meet, I would put in the language.
Where is that?
It's the question that Councilman Boyle, or Deputy Mayor Boyle, asked. It's the last page.
It's the very last page. Very last page.
H.
Comment B3. Comment B3 there. I would say leave it to the discretion of the Recreation Commission, but at least once a month.
Well, yes, and we could do our language something like that, but it's interesting, though, that some of these have no, they say there's not going to be, you know, any public meetings, you know, it's...
They got to pay bills, just like everybody
okay,
else.
So, yeah. But it's also, some of them have required, say, two per month or one per month. Well, most of them are, that I read are one per month. So, I mean, that's, you know, and then if they want to have more meetings, they can, of course. You know, so it's like that.
I would say at least at their discretion, but a minimum of once a month.
And when they schedule more as necessary.
Yeah.
One thing, Mayor. 355.3a on the terms. I'm happy with up to 4 years. I think we keep it uniform with all the other boards and committees we have. 5 years maybe, you know.
Sorry, what was that again, Rarick?
355.3, terms and vacancies, number A, or letter A.
Okay.
I think it's a couple sentences in there. It says the initial terms should be periods of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years. I think we keep it uniform and just take out the 5 and keep the 4. You know, so you could do 1, 2, 3, and 4. Keep
okay.
it uniform with all the other boards and committees we have.
And
unless
then,
there's a need for that, 5 years.
And all terms would be a 4-year term?
Yes.
Can that be with
I'd
that
like
large
that
of a
too.
Board?
I don't think so.
Okay, can you talk to them?
So it's been five? There may be a statute that was planned for that.
Yeah, okay.
So that may not be aware of that. Okay, if that's the case, then that's fine. But we'll look into that.
Okay.
Just to be sure.
Okay, thank you.
I was just going to recognize Mr. Zimmer, see if he had any reason for that, if he had any knowledge of why it was 5 years, but I think that we answered that.
Okay. Okay, do we have any more discussion on that? Okay, hearing none, we'll have those changes incorporated. We'll look at what Mr. Torres is going to get emailed to all of us and see if there are any other suggestions that we may have. Okay, that takes us to Resolution 55-2011, redemption of a tax certificate.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Stuhl?
Yes.
Levin?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McCallum?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
58-2011, authorizing budget transfers for 2010 appropriation reserves.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? Mr. Boyle?
I wonder if I could ask our CFO what actually are the other expenses that jumped up for the Board of Adjustments at that number? Do you have, do you know what that is?
I do. It says legal.
Legal? All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? The roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Labor?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Okay, Resolution 59-2011, authorizing the issuance of tax anticipation notes not to exceed $2 million for fiscal year 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yes. It says not to exceed $2 million. What are we going for? $2 million? Pardon me?
$2 million.
$2 million. And that, let's see, we had, what was the rollover thing that you gave us? Was that for last year? I just saw that.
The band. The bond anticipation. That's tax anticipation.
Okay. And this is essentially rolling over last year's to this year?
Correct.
And when will we go after this?
Probably in a week or so.
How can we... We already have one that is due in April, right, or May?
March 31st.
March 31st.
So we will close on this one on March 30th, so this the new fund is deposited, and we pay off the old one with the new money next day.
Okay, and can you explain to everybody what happens if this doesn't go through?
If it doesn't sell?
Yeah, if it doesn't pass, we don't go out for it. You don't get the approval,
we'll
go out for it.
We'll just have to find enough cash in our bank accounts to pay off the old $2 million and function with the funds we have. And when we get to the point of no cash in the bank,
we close the town.
Essentially.
I know that on that class on Saturday,
right,
we knew this was coming up. When are we going to have to stop doing this?
Well, I don't think you can stop completely, but I anticipate heading left in 2012 for sure, and probably, you know, like phasing it off, basically.
Okay, well, this would be the third time we've done this, or the fourth time?
Third. Yes.
First time was $1.5 million.
Right, then went
last
$2 million.
Last year was $2 million.
And this is
$2 million.
This
was $2 million.
And then I'm thinking that, just looking at the cash numbers and everything, I'm thinking by next year we'll probably be okay with $1.5 million.
Just so everybody knows what a tax anticipation note is. This is a loan that we're taking out based on future taxes. This is, you know, the tax anticipation note. So we're going to borrow money that we need, that we're going to get from taxes, that we don't have cash on hand.
Correct. This is, if our cash flow is not steady, then we need the cash today to pay bills, and we can't wait for August and November taxes.
Until the quarterly taxes come in, we need the cash.
The problem I have with that is, and it is a problem, we pay interest on the on this loan to the tune of, I think last year was what, a penny and a half, almost.
Last year was $59,000. This year in the budget is $35,000.
A penny.
Mr. Stutler, if you had a question?
Yeah, how does the homestead rebate figure in with this now, with the second quarter?
Well, that has nothing to do with homestead rebate, but according to the state, they're supposed to send us a one lump sum check.
Today or didn't they by March 1st?
I can tell you. Okay. Today's March 1st. We haven't even looked in the bank yet, but I don't, you know, I haven't talked to the tax collector. But they were supposed to get a one lump sum check from the state. If we do get that check, then we would have to redo all the bills for May and whoever is eligible for the homestead rebate and send brand new bills to all those residents, telling them the new amount they owe for May. If we don't get this check from the state, then the rebate will come from the state.
So,
so the
town itself, for income, isn't losing anything, but the state's going to make up the difference.
Well,
no.
We're not losing as far as the property taxes. No, we're not going to lose out any money because we only give you credit for the funds that we collect from the state for you. However, there is work involved, and right now the state said that they will reimburse us for reprinting the bill, emailing, reprinting, and everything, but the jury's still out. When I see the check of reimbursement, then I'll tell you that they reimbursed us.
All right, any other discussion on Resolution 59-2011?
On the certificate, could you just explain number two? I mean, it's awfully complicated when you read it. The amount of notes outstanding in anticipation of the collection of taxes of the 2011 fiscal year, except such notes as will be renewed by or paid from the proceeds of the notes to be issued, is zero.
Well, what that basically means is that we don't, except for this that is going to pay the old note, we have
no other
notes outstanding.
Okay,
the other notes are zero.
Okay.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Dool?
Yes.
Cora?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Pickett?
No. I can't keep paying the interest on the money.
That moves us on to vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
All right. Okay, any discussion on any of the vouchers?
I think I had one thing here that I should find it.
Okay. What do you have, Mr. Jewell?
Page number 8. March 21, 11 street lights. Circle room.
Page what?
Page
8.
Page 8 at the top. I'm sure maybe Rich probably can answer the questions I have here. What's that?
What is it for?
Street lights?
Sure, street lights. I circle 4 and 5, but I can email Rich, I mean, and ask the question. It was just something simple, I think, as far as what that's actually for. What that's for all the street lights in town, or?
I would have to go to Bill.
Yeah, okay,
tomorrow.
Yeah. That's fine, thank you.
Yeah, more than likely it is for all of them.
Okay.
And for 3 months, I guess.
Okay.
Since the January through March?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, anything else? Have a roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes, I'm abstaining from page 4 and 5, Pinelli.
Again?
Jade?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh. Yes, on everything except for the fire department, I would say.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes, except for fire department squad.
Okay. For a recap, Ms. Blanchard, what do you have on your list?
I don't know. I don't know what I have on my list.
Oh, I'm sorry. Scott? Excuse me. I did have one more comment. Is it okay if I go on this?
Sure.
Okay. I know Rich isn't here, but I just want to
to question this, because there's Petty's Tire and Auto Center, it's on page 11, and it's just, it's for tire stems and tire repairs, but I thought that our road department has a tire, facility, tire changing, tire flat fixing capability, so I just wanted to ask Rich about that, but he's not here.
I can tell you for sure. We don't.
The road department told me we did.
We did. I know we've had to take the fire car, code enforcement fire inspector car up there to have that tire changed.
Mr. Higgins, do you know something about this?
They have a tire changer machine that they actually bought out of their own pocket that's not hooked up.
It's not hooked up?
No, they have a tire machine down there that they...
Yeah, their own pocket, you mean they actually bought
it? They actually bought an old tire machine that...
So in other words, if they use it, they could save in the future these $100 charges.
It all depends on what size tire. That's only for cars. That's only for like the tractor, the front wheels of the tractor and things like that. That's not for...
Might not be for heavy equipment.
Okay.
It's not for heavy equipment.
That was it. All right, thanks.
Auto tire changer.
I have one more thing too. I'm looking here. Page 10, Jersey American Water Co. I see number 7 and number 9. I can't imagine how much water we're using during the wintertime in the fields up here, but I just, you know...
I can answer that question.
If this is a leak or something, I mean, that's the only question I have, and that's it.
That's what it costs for the meters.
Okay.
The monthly charge.
Okay.
The monthly charge.
That's
correct. Yeah.
You ready?
Sure. Go before somebody else comes in.
I know. Let me see. Just give me a minute. I'm not used to this part. If I miss anything, let me know. I will schedule the workshop meetings from March 10th, 11th, and 12th. 10th and 11th from 7 to 9, the 12th and 4 to 6. Do you, Dave, do you still want an opinion from an attorney on the forensic audit?
Well, listen, I would like something in writing. I know that you're saying he's already provided that. Either way, I would like something definitive. Nobody else would?
Yes.
Pretty good idea.
Why not?
Maybe we can reach out to him for the next meeting.
Doesn't hurt.
He'll be here, so.
Okay.
He also talked about it at one of the meetings, too, and he suggests his recommendation to council was that you, which we kind of said with the whole garbage thing, too, you know, you do the will of the people, you know, whether
right.
binding or non-binding. So that was...
I understand what's being said, but what's binding,
wants to know
what's not binding...
For sure.
If it's
right.
binding and we can't afford to pay for it, we're in trouble.
Okay. I'll pass that on to...
Always good to know if we're in trouble before we...
And then I'll get the bylaws.
How much does he get a charge?
And we'll scan them and email them out to council tomorrow. On the statute for the Recreation Commission. Justice
Number of
question.
Members.
Yep. Yeah, terms of service, right?
Right, terms of service.
Right.
And we're looking at the 4, but if it's 5, it's by statute, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
We'll check on the
streetlight
bill tomorrow on the voucher
mm-hmm.
for Justin's questions. That's what I have.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Miss anything? Okay. Council remarks. Mr. Torres, let's start with you today.
I have no remarks really tonight.
Okay, Mrs. Gleba.
I had a couple, but they were for the manager, so I'll contact him.
Okay, Mr. Valentine.
The workshop that we did on Saturday with the auditor was incredible. I was really prepared to be like bored because he wants to spend a Saturday talking about finances and numbers and what the state expects. It was amazing. I really got a lot out of it. The presentation was great, and it made a lot of sense. I'd like to see it more often because there was just so much material, and I think it really did. I know it helped me a lot.
Okay.
Both the CFO and then Tom did a great job. They actually, for me at least, I know they explained things where I could actually understand it.
Okay, anything else, sir?
That's it.
Okay, Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, couple things. I know the manager's not here and he's going to have to take care of this stuff, but first of all, there's a broken tree downtown. I mean, it's broke in front of the North Carolina Furniture.
Somebody's going to have to... That's
I saw that laying there. Pardon me?
That's an accident waiting to happen.
The tree is laying there next to the other one in front of the Kathy's Cove or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was laying on either Saturday or Sunday. But it was snapped. right, probably a foot out of the ground.
Okay.
Like somebody hit it with a car.
Yep.
Pardon me?
Car jumped the curb, took the tree down, and actually almost entered the furniture store from the window.
Mm. Okay, so they're going to replace it, right?
The car?
No, the tree.
The people who hit the tree with the car?
Yeah.
When the insurance settles, probably.
Well, how do we go about doing that?
That's
to make sure
question.
That we get that tree replaced.
We'll put that on the list for Ms. Blanchard to go to the manager to make sure that that's taken care of.
Okay.
Or was it a hit and run?
I don't know. Oh. I just know that it was hit by a car. We heard about it from Jerry.
Well, they're going to have a wreck.
Okay. The crosswalk, walk lights.
Yeah. No lights.
I don't know if somebody's got to go out there and weld something or turn a certain way, but they're not working again. And I don't know who gets this. I thought we had an ordinance. We do have an ordinance about backlit signs.
We do.
That's being worked on.
Okay.
Reference to Wells Fargo or something?
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. And so, again, Fire Department is having a beefsteak and comedy show April 9th. Right, Justin?
Yep, 7 p.m.
Tickets are $40 per person.
Well, you can eat beefsteak. And
Justin's taking orders tonight.
Do you know who the comedian is yet?
To be determined. I can say last year's comedians were excellent. So.
Okay.
Well worth the price.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, that's it. Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Jewell?
Just two things. There's a handicap sign that was knocked down either by a vehicle or a plow or whatever right in front of the community center, 31 Belvedere Avenue.
Okay.
We need to look into. And how are they going to offer 31 Belvedere Avenue?
That's right for humanity now, right?
Yeah. And Christmas trees, how are we making out with picking them up?
I know
I see
that
a lot of them
have been
done. Going at a Belcross tree is gone, but it looks good.
Yeah, a lot of them have been done. I do think there's still a little bit more to go on that.
Okay.
Actually, I think the road department is chipping them up.
Yeah.
I saw them go around with the chippers.
Okay. Good. Mr. Boyle?
Thank you, Mayor. I was asking about progress with the deputy clerk. Ms. Blanchard answered that. I was just going to be curious about the rec secretary, if there's any hits on people interested in that position. Talked about the library meeting. Was interested about the fire truck. We had that correspondence about the status of that. Is there any progress on that? I want to talk about the Open Public Meeting Act. With the letter that we had gotten, which took place from July 20th, I wanted that to be discussed with the manager. I got the statute, I got what to do and what not to do and how open public meet. I'm confused now. We're taking opinions from others and it may be not be 100% accurate, and we're taking opinions from Mr. Paff, and is he right? You know, who's really determining what needs to be an executive and what doesn't? We're going to talk about that when Rich gets back, because some of those things, there's a direct relationship that I had with that July 20th meeting.
Okay.
The sewer engineer, I wanted to know about any updates to the Gardner's Court. We spoke that's been delayed very long. We had a sewer meeting in January. I haven't seen anything come across, an email or a letter of where we're going forward with this, with their ideas. Agree with all the council about Saturday's meeting. And I also want to say that the CFO was here Saturday. And regardless of the one misstatement made, which is not a big problem with me, I believe the CFO is doing an outstanding job in defining what it needs to be done, answering the questions to the best of her ability, has a tremendous background, teaches this stuff at Rutgers, okay? Mm-hmm. So you have to give her credit. She knows what she's talking about. So I just want to say that publicly to show support on what had been misstated. Not a problem with me. And hopefully she understands where I was coming from on that. That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay.
There you go. Stand up and take a bow.
Deserve it, believe me.
I just want to
bring up one more thing. And I'm glad you mentioned the thing about the tree. Has the stump of that tree been removed? Because what I was referring to about the accident, I mean, you've got this, like, spike sticking up out of the ground, and somebody is going to, like,
We'll have the road department take a look at it tomorrow. Maybe they can sharpen it up and get a good point on it.
Yeah, right. It's a clean bus up order. So the road or the tree people?
Probably the road department would go up and do something temporarily with it to make it, say, put a cone over it or something like that.
I have a saw at home. I could, like, just come by when I'm driving through tomorrow morning and just whack it off myself.
Yeah, I'm sure that somebody would call the police on you for that. The only thing I have is today I started the Mayor's Book Club, which is in conjunction with the League of Municipalities Educational Foundation. It is sponsored by Verizon. It is for the first grade students over at Taylor Street School. I was there reading them a book today. If they read 1,000 books, they will get $1,000 to spend on new books for their library over there. So the principal is very much in favor of that, as is Mr. Rosa, the superintendent, the first grade teachers. They all guaranteed me that these students will read 1,000, or have read to them 1,000 books, so that they can get that money and get new books for their classrooms.
We should match.
That's a great thing, yeah. And
that's excellent. You personally?
Yeah. My question, Scott, is who's sponsoring this, the $1,000?
Verizon.
It's totally.
The League of Municipalities has an education foundation. Verizon has made the donation for the books should they meet the goals.
Mm-hmm.
And every child who reads at least 8 books or has read to them at least 8 books by the end of this period will get a free book.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you know,
everybody wins.
What was Centenary College?
Centenary College will be holding a children's author,
right.
Of which all the students and their parents will be invited to. There would be no cost to them for that outside of the gas to get to there.
Cool.
So that's all I have.
I have one other thing, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Our illustrious mayor here was one of 3 guest speakers, I understand, for the installation of the Morris, Sussex, and Warren County officers of the NAACP on, was it Saturday?
Yes. Yeah. One of 3 elected officials who spoke. They did have others.
Oh. Okay, well, see, I'm trying to make you look good. Thank you for representing the borough.
You're most welcome. It was my pleasure. Okay, that takes care of council remarks. We will need an executive session for, I guess that would be contract negotiations?
Yeah. Okay. But we still have it without Rich?
Yeah, we can still have it without him. Okay. If we really need to, yeah, at this point we can get him on the phone.
Oh.
Well, he should be about this time. So I would accept a motion for resolution 56, 2011 after a 5-minute break.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, any